Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Decide to do, Jolene.
This is Live from Nashville. I'm your host, Gary Holt. That song needs no introduction. Miss Dolly Parton and Jolene. Joining me is my lovely co-host, my wife, my better half, Mary Kay. Hey, Mary Kay.
Hello.
Well, say something
else.
So good
It's so good to join you on this show. We've got a couple of really great artists lined up to visit with. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited about our guest as well. So we've got Sally Barris that's going to be joining us for the first part of the show. And then an old friend, Mr. Sam Gay, will be joining us to kind of wrap things up. But you actually are at the Potato Festival in Escalante, Utah today performing.
Yes.
So what the heck is a potato festival?
It's the Wild Potato Festival, Gary Holt. It's the Potato Festival. Well, Escalante, back in the day when the first, white settlers that came into the valley, the very remote region of central southern Utah. And there was native wild potatoes growing all along the Escalante River. And so that the valley became known as Potato Valley. And somebody said, y'all, that's not a great name. And so they changed it to Escalante. But they still celebrate every year the wild potatoes and that grew there in that valley. And they have a potato salad contest.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yeah. And I'm going to be performing there, so I'm excited.
Well, that would be fantastic. So I think your show is at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. So if anybody is in the Utah area, they'd like to go to a potato festival, stop by and hear Mary Kay perform this evening at 6 p.m. your time. And I kind of got tickled because you said Escalante, and that's the way I pronounce it, and you told me I'm supposed to say Escalant. So you have become a true Nashvillian.
That's true. Locals call it Escalante. And then everyone from out of town calls it Escalante.
Okay. All right. Unless you're from Nashville, and then you call it Escalante. So anyway, that's my southern thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a great, great show today. We're going to have a lot of fun visiting with Sally Barris, and I'm going to really enjoy our conversation with her. And then later on, Sam Gay, as I mentioned before, will be joining us. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Sally. It's one called Sweet Companion. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Miss Sally Barris today on Live from Nashville.
We've gone the distance through the wind and rain, left some heartbreak in the dust. These wheels keep on turning, burning like our love ain't no stopping for
wonderful artist with us today. Sally Barris is an A-list Nashville songwriter, and she's had artists such as Kathy Mattea, Martina McBride, Leanne Womack record some of her songs, and she also has been a Grammy nomination artist with her song Let the Wind Chase You, recorded by Trisha Yearwood and Keith Urban. Please welcome to Live from Nashville, our guest, Sally Barris. How are you, Sally?
And it's great to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is great to have you. Yeah, great to have you. And it's kind of funny. because as we were talking before the show, we have a lot of common friends that are in Colorado and California, as well as people here in Tennessee. So, man, it's a small, small world, isn't it?
It really is. It never ceases to amaze me.
Well, when you do music and you do horses like we do, you find out that they intersect, and it really is a small, it is a small, small world. And so we're just great having you with us today. So tell us a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? How did you get started in music?
Oh, gosh. Well, I grew up in a little town called Chaska, Minnesota. And my dad introduced me to music at a really young age. He loved the country music from a different era, what we would call retro country, I guess now. But he loved Johnny Cash, Marty Robbins, Roger Miller, and he always had Hee Haw on.
So,
and he always had music playing. And one of the things that I'm so grateful for is he played a lot of world music too before I even understood what the term world music meant. So we always had like Hawaiian steel guitar music or Spanish guitar, French zither. I mean, I was exposed to a lot of music at a really young age. And the story goes, when I was 5, he handed me a ukulele and just said, here, learn this. And that was it.
Wow. Well, that's quite a story. Quite a bit of an exposure to a variety of music as well. So that is so cool. So how did you end up in Nashville?
Well, I long story short, I wound up playing in bluegrass bands in Minnesota.
Okay.
And I loved bluegrass music. When I say bluegrass now, you have to add newgrass to that term, because we just kind of did anything we wanted to. We just played it on a banjo and a mandolin and a guitar, you know?
Right.
And then
right.
Bluegrass.
And it's bluegrass. And I also started writing songs just because, you know, from growing up and staring at records all my life, I was always intrigued by these names of these people behind the songs. And I thought, well, that's cool. I'd like to do that for a living if I could.
Wow.
And so after I played in bands and we went out and we actually won the Telluride Bluegrass Festival contest with my little band. We were called Northern Hospitality. And I just kept making more and more connections. And we finally, you know, we drove to Colorado and back. We were crazy back then. You just get in the car and drive at that age.
And
we drove to Nashville and we walked into Douglas Corner. Now you have to understand, I'm just from a small town in Minnesota. And we walked into Douglas Corner and it was packed. And in the middle of the room, it was an In the Round. And I can't remember all of the people playing there that night, but one of them was Gary Burr. And I thought I had died and gone to songwriter heaven, because I've never seen anything like this before, where people were celebrating the person behind the song on the radio. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
I just thought, this is amazing. I've never seen this before. I didn't even know it existed. And then and there, I made the decision, I don't care what I have to do. Well, I do care what I have to do, but I mean, I wanted to spend the rest of my life in pursuit of writing these amazing songs that people were writing. There you have it.
There you go. Well, welcome to Nashville. How many years ago was that?
Now, I was 4. Just kidding.
Oh, just a baby.
We're about the same age then. Yeah, we'd be about the same age then, I guess.
I'm kidding.
I'm much older than you are.
It's been a while, and I've seen Nashville change a lot. But the one thing that has remained is the strong community of songwriters and how important the song is here. And that's what keeps me here, the people and music. It's such an amazing town. I mean, I think of it as what Paris is to painters or what New York is to actors. Like, Nashville is a really unique place for a songwriter to live because that's all we do here. We just write songs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Wow. Well, we're going to get to another song. And so tell us about Then There Was You.
Oh, well, I wrote that for my husband.
Oh, wow.
Romantic.
Kind of a love song. You know, can I just say something really quick about the first song that you played?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The first song I wrote with Jesse Alexander and John Randall, and they're singing harmony, and that song was recorded by Darren and Brooke Aldridge, a fabulous duo.
Wow.
I love Sweet Companion. It's kind of my ode to the road, touring with the ones you love song. Anyway, I just wanted to say those things.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And Then There Was You. That's just a love song to my husband. What can I say?
All right. Well, let's take a listen to the love song to your husband. What's his name?
His name is Sam.
All right. Sam. Sam is very popular. Sam Gay is on the show. Our dog is Sam.
Yeah.
So this is just Sam. Then There Was You. This is Sally Bears.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Placement is just so beautiful. I love in your bio, it says you have an expressive mountain soprano, and it's just not you don't get to hear very many sopranos. Would you say that's true?
Well,
among female artists?
Yeah, it is. And it took a long time for me to accept my voice as it was. I loved Linda Ronstadt growing up, and I wanted to be her so badly, I even tried to make my hair do what her hair did. But, you know, and it's natural, you know, you do that. You want to be other people. And
yeah.
It's interesting, the other people that I listened to a lot were Emmylou Harris and Dolly Parton, the first song you played. And
yeah.
Emmy and Dolly both kind of helped me to accept my voice as it was and how to use it. I really did learn how to use it from listening to them sing, although I still have days where I want to be Linda Ronstadt. So what can I say?
You can't get much better than she was, I'm telling you.
I was about to say, Dolly came along and her voice was very different too, because she had that high, you know, bluegrass soprano female voice. Yeah,
exactly.
Very, very pretty. And I just, your lyrics, is this a song that you wrote on your own, or was this a co-write?
Okay, this is a really funny story. I wrote that by myself, but I was at the hair salon getting my hair done, and they have the music playing, you know, and inspiration
yeah.
is so funny. It comes through and it comes through. So I'm sitting there listening to the music, and this song is coming in, and I'm like, you know, what do I do? I've got this melody coming in.
Write it down.
It's completely different. Well, I couldn't write it down. So I grabbed my phone, and while I'm at the hair salon with, you know, foil in my hair, I've got my phone, and I'm singing into it. You know, just ignore me. I'm just a songwriter. Nothing to see here, folks. And
songwriter stuff.
I'm on my phone. But I couldn't hear what I was singing because the other music was playing. So when I went home, I'm listening to this melody going, hey, that's pretty cool.
I have a picture in my head that's kind of interesting. I've talked to a lot of songwriters. I've never had one tell me they had foil in their hair while they were singing to their phone.
Yeah, this is a new songwriting adventure.
Yeah, it is.
And I recorded that at Sam Gay's studio, home studio, and that's Templeton Watson singing harmony. And they were so instrumental in helping me put that record out. It's off a CD called Grasshopper Mile.
Wow.
Yes, and that's your latest album too, right?
It is, yes.
That is so cool. I wanted to ask, because Sam and Tempe have been friends for a long, long time. And how did you three connect?
I believe it was at a songwriter's in the round at a guy named Mike Williams' house a long, 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 long time ago.
Okay.
And, you know, at that time, we were all so young, and just it was so amazing to connect with other talented people and just be blown away. Like, basically, every time you go out and hear music in a town like this, you're just like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And so,
yes, that's so
I
true.
Remember the first time I heard, yeah, when I heard Sam and Tempe, I was like, oh my gosh, these guys are amazing. And Templeton, there's just no one like her. So I'm just so honored and proud to call them like my soulmate friends that I've known since the beginning here of my time in Nashville. It's wonderful to move here and do music, but the real gem of it is the people you connect with and the friendships that you make, and then they end up being your co-writers too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sadly, one of the things about me bringing Mary Kay in from Utah is that I had a singer-songwriter that I was friends with on Facebook, and they saw that Mary Kay and I had come back to Nashville, and so we met over in Belmead at a – where did we meet, Mary Kay? Restaurant.
We met at a bagel
in
place.
Mary Kay.
Brugger's Bagel.
Yeah, bagel place. Bagel place, and so they just hit it right off, and so she was getting ready to record a new album, And so she invited Mary Kay to come in and record on the album with her. And so from that, we met another singer-songwriter at the studio, and they have just become closest friends. And then it's just become like there are like four or five of them now that are like, you know, if it could be the Three Musketeers times two, plus two, I guess, you know, best friends of the world. And it's just
great.
amazing how close the songwriting community is in Nashville. And
yeah.
And you picked two good ones to connect with. We're going to get to another song, and this one was your Grammy-nominated song that Trisha Yearwood and Keith Urban did. And before we play this song, it's called Let the Wind Chase You. How was this song pitched? How did you pitch this song to those two?
You know, just the regular channels. I was writing for Rensong Publishing at the time, and I co-wrote this with Karen Michelle. And we got it to Trisha, and the stars aligned, and I'll never forget, I was actually over at Sound Emporium working on a independent CD, and I walked by, and Trisha's producer was there and said, "Hey, Sally, do you want to hear your Trisha Yearwood cut?" And I walked into Garth's office and heard it, and it was just amazing. It was an amazing moment because it's so rare when this happens, and Nashville's really changed a lot. It's turned into more of an artist-writer, you know, where artists are writing their own material, which is great. I, you know, the pendulum, it changes. It's constantly changing. But this was a really special song to have been recorded, and especially by Trisha Yearwood, because she's such an amazing singer. So I'm just really thrilled to be a part of the song with my co-writer, the wonderful Karen Michelle.
Wow. Well, it is a great song. Let's take a listen to Let the Wind Chase You. And we'll be back in a moment to talk more on Live from Nashville with the very talented Miss Sally Bears.
Like a wild flower, doesn't have to reach for the sun. When it needs a drop of water, doesn't have to ask the rain to come. I don't want to work for your love, I don't want to try. What you're looking for, never gonna find in me. So let the wind chase you, I can't do it anymore. Let the road.
never gonna find it in me. So let the wind chase you. I can't do it anymore. Let the road run after you, like I've always done before. Let the stars catch your eyes, 'cause I've tried and tried and tried, and I won't do. So let the wind
song, Let the Wind Chase You. It's Sally Barris, and she's our special guest today on Life from Nashville. And who was singing with you on that song?
I'm so glad you asked. That is Ben Kyle, and he is an incredible singer-songwriter, originally from Belfast, now living in Minneapolis. And I met him when I was on the road. I was actually back home in Minneapolis, Minnesota, playing a gig, and he was one of the other guests, and he just blew me away with his songs and with his voice. Yeah, he's a wonderful singer. He's so talented. And when I met him, I was like, oh my gosh. I actually recorded one of his songs on that same CD. This song is on an album called Wilder Girl. And I recorded a song of his called Fiona about the troubled times in Belfast. But he is a marvel. He's just, I can't say enough good things about Ben Kyle. I really can't.
Is he still touring?
Well,
oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Great, great song. Great. Yeah, and because you were talking about on the road, I have been tempted to start a new show called Road Stories or Stories of the Road. I don't know what title we could put on this. But we had a group of songwriters over at the house one night, and their spouses, and we were sitting around the dining room table.
Gary, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Mary Kay, can you hear me?
I can hear you, babe.
Hello? All right.
Hello?
Yeah, so are you there? Yeah, Mary Kay, can you hear me okay?
Hello, Gary.
Okay. Yeah, I think she's just having a bit of a problem, so we're going to see if we can get this fixed, and while we're working on that, we're going to listen to another song from Sally called Huntington, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I walk these rocks at night when the lovers come to kiss. They whisper to each other, so sincere. I try the best I can to warn them all away, but they don't even know I'm here. Huntington River, Huntington Gold, cold-hearted water, sharp as a sword. Thank you. Huntington Gorge, be one in there forevermore. And then my love there, I watched him drown. Huntington River carried him down. Huntington River carried me down.
Huntington River, Sally Barris, and we are all back now on Live from Nashville. So, Sally, technical problems sometimes happen, and so that's okay. We're glad to have you back with us now.
All right.
So what I was saying when you could not hear me was that we had a lot of musicians over to the house a couple of months ago, and we were sitting around the dining room table, and they started telling road stories. And so, you know, everybody was cracking up with their stories. And I thought, we need to do a show called Road Stories. And that would be so much fun. But I know
brilliant.
That you're...
Brilliant.
Oh, it'd be fun. It'd be fun. And you were talking about the fact that John Chandler is a friend of yours. And you performed with him at his America's Soul show. And John has started that show back up again now. And he's in a different location. But you've been on the road. Do you have a road story that you could share with us real quickly?
Oh, gosh. I have so many road stories.
For a general audience now. It's
yeah, for general listening.
Clean. That's right. You know.
I'll tell you the road story briefly. It was the ice storm. Have you ever driven on 81 up through Virginia to go up to, like, the Washington, D.C. area?
I have, years ago.
Yeah, 81 is a giant roller coaster is what it is. Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an ice storm that followed me all the way up to Washington, D.C. and all the way back home. It didn't want to leave my side. It was enjoying being
tormenting you.
Yes. And so... the ice storm and I went all the way up to Virginia. I was snowed in at a couple of gigs where I had to spend the night sleeping like on a bench at the gig because I couldn't leave.
Oh, no.
And then on the way home, 81 completely froze over. And again, now we're on a roller coaster, and this is before I had my own cell phone, and this was before I had like AAA or any of these things or GPS, and you'd go to the top of the hill and you would be on sheer ice looking down.
Oh, no.
And, well,
oh,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Scary.
And I would look across and see the driver in the next lane, and we'd be looking at each other with this panic, like, we're going to die. We're going to die. And we'd go down the hill, and finally I realized that I wasn't going to get home, and the sun was going down, and I was only making it about 10 miles an hour. And all of these drivers pulled off at the hotel that was on the side, like, all at the same time. And then we were there for a couple of days.
What? Wow.
Yeah. And we, you know, and so there were some musicians there, so I think there was a jam session. And I think, you know, to pass the time, we would watch trucks just drive off the road in the ice storm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah,
gosh.
I'll never forget that. It was just like nowadays, I can't imagine getting into a car without a cell phone, much less a GPS. But there I was, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well.
Oh.
So my question is, what song did you write after that experience?
Well, let's see. I have written road songs. I'll tell you, the song you just played, Huntington River, that was about, that river is in Vermont, and
okay.
I wrote that with Mark D. Sanders, and that's John Randall singing harmony. John Randall, one of the most talented humans on this planet, is playing guitar and singing on that song. But that song was written after a road trip from Vermont, a really beautiful place, and that was a really haunting river where I told a kind of a ghost story based on a true story of someone who drowned, so... That's where that came from.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm telling you have been so much fun to have on the show. And you're going to have to get some more road stories. We may just have to bring you back and do a road story show or something. That would be a heck of a lot of fun to have you do
that. I would love that.
Yeah, but for our audience around the world that's tuning in today, tell us where we can find your music and we can see where you may be touring.
Honestly, SallyBarris.com has all the information. If you want to buy music, the website will direct you over to Bandcamp, where it makes it really easy to download songs. And
yeah,
I've
been on your website. It's awesome.
Oh, great, great. It's really easy to navigate. And I don't have any gigs listed because I haven't been touring as much, but I do have some upcoming shows that I will put up. I'll make sure to get them up on my website. They're in Colorado.
Okay.
So, there's, yeah.
All right. That's great. That is great. Well, Sally, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to close out this segment with another great song called I Won't Always Wait. Tell us about that one before we go.
Oh, you know, I love, this is my ode to Celtic music because I love ballads and everything to do with Irish and Scottish and old English ballads. So I was trying to channel my inner Irish woman from another time. Love that. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's take a listen. It's I Won't Always Wait. Sally Barris has been our special guest for the first half of Live from Nashville. Sally, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Oh, you like to keep me wrapped around your finger on a string, but you can pull on anytime you like. So my heart is always up and down, turning round again, wondering if you're coming to me every day and night. Well, I won't always wait for you here, my darling. There will come a day when I'll be through.
Mr. Sam Gay, a longtime veteran in the music industry. He began his career in Memphis in 1979. I didn't know he was that old, playing guitar and singing in local bands. Eventually, Eventually, he was tapped to produce several independent record projects, and in 1989 moved to Nashville. He was signed as a staff songwriter at the Acuff Rose Publishing Company, where he wrote Me and the Moon, which was recorded by Brian White on Brian's million-selling debut album. His songs have been recorded by Little Texas, Montgomery Gentry, Brian White, Johnny Rodriguez, Ricky Van Shelton, Bonnie Bramlett, and others. Please welcome our friend, Mr. Sam Gay. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Gary. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. And I was kidding about not realizing you were that old. You're just a child. So.
Oh, you did right. Realize I was that old.
Gosh. Well, for our worldwide audience that may not be familiar with Mr. Sam Gay, tell us a little bit about how you got started in your music career.
Well, I mean, you covered a good bit of it in the intro there, which is very nice. I mean, I grew up in Memphis and did music stuff around there for a lot of years, and then Nashville was the next logical step, and I moved to Nashville and just absolutely felt like I'd moved home, and stuck my toe into the songwriting pool, and luckily had some success, you know, kind of early on, and was able to just keep making a living at that for a very long time as a staff writer. And as the music business evolved and it got to where staff writing was way, way less of a thing because people stopped buying records and started downloading stuff, sort of transitioned out of the staff songwriter deal and started going on tour with my wife, Templeton Thompson. And that's been the last 15 years or so, I suppose. And you know, we loaded up in our little Toyota T100. We had some gigs in Texas, and we had about enough money in our bank account to buy gas to get to Texas, and hoped that when we got to Texas, we made enough money to put enough gas in the truck to get to the next
come back.
Gig.
Yeah.
Well, no, we weren't even planning that far ahead. We were just hoping for the next gig.
Oh my goodness.
Gosh.
Yeah, but it's been. I tell you, I think every life deserves a great adventure, and I've been blessed that kind of my whole life, especially since I met Templeton, because she is in her own right a sort of a great adventure. But
yes, she is.
Well, we have had quite a great adventure over the last decades. We've been married for 26 years this year.
No, I didn't. Well, you know, you stole a underage bride, I guess, when you married her. So Templeton Thompson is a great singer and songwriter. And if you're not familiar with her, visit TempletonThompson.com and get familiar. But and Tempe has told the story before, but I don't think you've ever gotten to tell your side of the story. So how did the two of you meet? Uh-oh. I know her side, but you tell your side.
Yeah, okay. Well, her side's probably more colorful, but I had a gig in Nashville at this place called Jack's Guitar Bar, which was a kind of a semi-happening singer-songwriter joint at the time. And I was playing there. I actually had a bunch of old buddies that I'd gotten together, and we were doing a band thing there, and I was fronting the band. I toyed with pursuing the artist thing for about 5 minutes. And soon realized that I was way more comfortable with my name in the fine print. Like, but anyway, so she showed up one night with a mutual friend of ours, and she was looking for a guitar player, not me, but she was looking for the guy that was playing guitar with me. And I saw her in the crowd and didn't say a word because I was a bit bashful. And, so she hired my buddy, And I found out when they were going to rehearse, and I showed up at his house. And we started hanging out that night and wound up, I guess, 6 months later. And, at first, you know, we're just great friends for a long time. And then we signed up to do this tour in France where we were going to us and two other folks. We're in France for like 4 weeks and just playing gigs. And it was like a Sister Cities thing. So we played all over Normandy and points from between Normandy and Paris, just in that area. And, you know, after about 2 weeks of thousand-year-old cobblestone streets and French wine and all those people speaking French, it was kind of all over.
Oh, how romantic.
We went over there, friends, and came back in love. And then we were back there exactly 1 year later on the same tour, and I proposed to her over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you like that story, Mary Kay?
That is a great story.
Well, and the proposal in France sounds really romantic, but here's the thing. I was being strategic because I proposed about halfway through the trip, so I knew there was a pretty good shot that she would say yes, because if she didn't, she'd be super uncomfortable for that last 2 weeks of the trip.
Oh, this is so true.
So I figured I'd get a temporary yeah.
Wow! We'll have to share a story that we learned from a friend yesterday. We went out to the San Antonio Taco Company over across from Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
and met a fellow that I knew from Utah that came in, and he was a street musician in France for a while. And then this young lady was a singer, and so he and she, was it just the two of them for a while, would go back to Paris for a little bit and perform on the streets. And then they added another guy, and so then they started playing at these five-star hotels. And he proposed to her, and she wouldn't give him an answer. And he finally... You know, it's like almost like your story, except she just wouldn't give him an answer. And finally, they were dressed up. And what was the music that was playing?
The way you look tonight.
Anyway, the way you look
tonight.
Man,
that's
and
a
she
nightmare
was all,
scenario. I just
all dressed up, and she finally said, "I have an answer for you." And she said, "Yes." And so that was 20 some odd years ago as well. So anyway, Paris must have that effect on people. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, great story, Sam. Great story.
I don't think I considered that outcome, because if I had, I probably would have chickened out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Hey, we got to get to some of your music now, okay? So this is the window. Is it Rod? The window Rod? Or
the
window?
No.
What is this?
Yeah, the song is called The Window. It's basically I'm breaking every cardinal rule of every musician, artist, person. I'm sending you stuff that's not completely finished, mixed, and all that stuff, because it's what I had. But I'm working on a project right now. And
so what's the project?
The project is going to be an album that I'm doing, and the album is called Johnny the Astonishing Human Cannonball. Which is a whole nother thing. And I'm usually, like I said before, I'm usually the guy in the fine print, in the dark, in the background, out of focus. That's where I do my best work and I'm most comfortable, you know. And I just, you know, I've written songs over the years that have sort of been favorites of mine, and I've never sat down and recorded them. And I finally decided, well, I'm, by golly, going to do that. And so I've got 10 or 12 songs, I think, that I'm finishing up for that project. And
all right.
It hopefully will be out this summer. We'll see. It's I'm like the shoemaker, you know. I have a studio at the house, and it seems like I've always got some other project I'm working on other than mine. But
then yours gets put on the back burner. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, this is a great song. I love this. And so let's take a listen to The Window. It's Sam Gay, and he is our special guest today on Live from Nashville.
Got an old window frame from a church they tore down 30-something years ago. And I like the shape and I like the craft of its maker, so I brought it home and I hung it on my wall. And that old window frame is ancient and fragile and worn from a century's time. In a one-room wide building where on Sundays they'd gather to try to make some sense out of this life. Saints and sinners have been washed in the colors of its simple stained panes of glass. And it's heard hollered fire and brimstone and whispered prayers of lost hope. About promises that last. And that old window frame has been a witness to my story, my attempts to find redemption when I fall. Took amazing grace to mend the good love that I left untended. It's a miracle I didn't lose it all. Now that old window frame is a pretty good reminder that I'm just a passenger here. I'm just a temporary keeper of the parts that I am made of, just like that old window hanging there. Saints and sinners have been washed in the colors of its simple stained panes of glass. And it's heard hollered fire and brimstone and whispered prayers and lost hope and songs about promises that last. Saints and sinners have been washed in the colors of its simple stained panes of glass. And it's heard hollered fire and brimstone and whispered prayers and lost hope and songs about promises that last.
That's The Window, and from our guest, our artist guest today, Sam Gay. Sam, I had something completely else that I wanted to ask you, but just listening to the production of your music, you're a sound engineer, and everything that I've heard that you've done, I really, really love. And,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just
thank
really
you.
Amazing work.
I've been really lucky to work on some good stuff over the years. With super talented people. In fact, Sally, who I was just on, I produced her last record. And let's wrap everything up. Sally and Templeton were singing backgrounds on that track. So,
oh wow!
That's that just kind of became a little family deal there. All of a sudden.
I started to say we're keeping it all in the family today. That is so cool.
Yeah.
I did want to say
so much.
Yeah, I did want to say very quickly, Sam, I have always loved your recordings, your music.
And thank you. You
kind of take a back seat and promote Templeton, but you are an extremely talented performer yourself.
Thank you. I just want to get that out there.
And by the way, Lance Cowan said he'd be listening. So Lance Cowan said he'd be listening today. So say something nice about him. So you can or not. I mean,
oh,
it's kind of up to you.
Lance Cowan is one of the most talented songwriters on this blue ball that we live on. That guy, he and I wrote a ton of stuff like way back in the day, and I still play those songs. I mean, they've held up better than anything. And in fact, he just emailed me recently with a song that we had written like 30 years ago and said, "Do you remember this?" And I was like, "No, I don't, but I love that." So it may wind up on my project. It's since there's still a little light in the doorway there, I may stick that one on my new project just because.
Well, there you go.
I was like, "Oh man." So
there you go.
But thank
there
you.
Go. So Lance, if you're listening, that was very nice. If you're listening, that was very nice. So that was your compliment for the day. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
I'm going to jump in here because that is exactly what I intended to ask you, Sam, is I wanted to comment about your new project because as a songwriter, if you're like me, and I think you are as a songwriter, you look back to your old material like that song Lance sent you, and there's a bunch of really great songs that for some reason just get passed over through the years. And I'll look through back to my old material and I think, what? Why did I never record that? So I'm so happy you're putting this new album together. It's got to be very satisfying.
It really is. And you're right. I mean, and especially back in the days, you know, because I was signed as a staff songwriter for, I don't know, 14, 15 years, something like that. And, you know, during those times, I was writing around 100 songs a year probably. So, a lot of them are forgotten. Some of them are probably best forgotten, but there are some in that pile that I hear occasionally and I go, wow, what, why, what, why, how come? So, and I may go back one of these days and just like sort of do an archaeological dig of some of those songs and see if there's enough to put on a project just so they don't just wither, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, there needs to be more Sam Gay music out there. And so that's my encouragement to you, my friend, is to do a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's listen to Blue Eyes and All. And did I say that title right this time, Blue Eyes and All?
That's correct. Blue Eyes and All. I wrote this one with my buddy Porter Howell. Porter is one of the founding members of the band Little Texas and one of my best co-writing buddies and definitely my best fishing buddy. And so we wrote this one. This one's actually quite a few years old, but it's one of those, the same deal. I went back and I found it in the catalog and went, man, I love that song. So anyway, there's that.
Well, it's a good one. Let's take a listen to it. Blue Eyes and All. We're talking with Sam Gay today on Live from Nashville.
You don't cross my mind. I don't think about what might have been. My tears have dried. To tell the truth, I've forgotten you, blue eyes and all. I've forgotten you. Those campfires by the lake, and how I'd hold you close when every little sound made you afraid. I needed to, so I've forgotten you, blue eyes and all. Say I really should stop living in the past. Just move on without ever looking back. Well, I can't seem to make 'em understand. forgotten you. You don't cross my mind. I don't think about what might have been. My tears have dried. The honest truth is I've forgotten you. Blue eyes and all. Oh, I needed to, so I've forgotten you. Blue eyes and all.
That is some fine songwriting. Really beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I
can see why this needs to be recorded and on this album. Very nice. You know, I have a question for you. I know you got your start in Memphis, and you've been in Nashville for quite a while. I started playing guitar and got involved in what music business there is in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
But being on the road, I've seen lots of different styles of playing guitar, and I've seen how the regions that you start off in kind of influence your music. Would you say that you were influenced by a Memphis style of playing and recording and singing? Or do you feel like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. I think yes and no. I think it's certainly there because, you know, you soak up what you're around and musically,
right.
I think. But honestly, during the 80s, which is like was sort of my heyday of working around Memphis, the music scene there was not – it was sort of waning at the time. And, of course, there was great music history, and I worked at a little old music store in Memphis, and a lot of the old Stax guys and Sun guys and some of the blues artists from down in the Delta were coming in. So I got to meet and talk to a lot of those folks. That had a huge influence on me. And of course, listening to Al Green and Duck Dunn and those guys, there was a big influence there. But I don't know. I was listening to Memphis stuff, but I was also listening to, you know, Bill Monroe, well, everything from Bill Monroe to ZZ Top, you know, that was my wheelhouse.
Probably just being at the record shop, just hearing lots of different music.
Yeah. So I think it all played in. And my dad was an air traffic controller, but he had a bunch of buddies that they would get together and play what I call hillbilly music. And it was everything from, you know, Hank Williams to Charlie Pride to the Kingston Trio, you know, folk harmony stuff. And Dad played the upright bass in that bunch and sang harmony. And that was a huge influence on me. As soon as I got a guitar and learned a few chords, I started sneaking up on stage with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I wanted to, you know, they didn't run me off. So I guess I was quiet. Either good enough or quiet enough that, you know, I wasn't getting in the way. But that's probably, you know, my earliest, biggest influence was those guys.
That sounds like a really nice, solid musical background. Working here in Nashville, do you see any of the regional influences, or is that mostly when you're out on the road?
Well, you know, it's funny because Nashville is such a magnet. I've been really blessed to hear a lot of diverse musical styles that have come here to record or have come here to, you know, take a shot at being an artist or a songwriter. And so, you know, it was like, especially early on writing, hugely diverse group of people. One of my main co-writing buddies graduated from Yale and moved to Nashville to write hillbilly music. And another friend that we
were excited.
Yeah. Well, his dad was actually like the head of the music department at Yale or something. So he came from a real, I mean, he was a super accomplished piano player and writer, great, great songwriter, a guy named John Tiro. he went on to have some number ones, and then left the music business and is now a pastor. So, but between him and then there was another guy that had worked on crab boats in like, you know, before way before Deadliest Catch was a thing, but he had gone and done that for like a season to make enough money to move to Nashville and pursue his songwriting, singing thing. So it was a hugely diverse group of people, you know, showing up in town. And so all that music filtered in here too. And I guess it all filtered through me, you know, or into me in some way,
into
and
you.
Probably
yeah.
filters out along the way.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Well, you're a talented guy. And I'm glad so many people have had a little bit of an influence on you because it shows. And
thank you.
Again,
thank you.
You need to do a little bit more Sam Gay music than you've been doing before. So I encourage you to do that.
I am an offensive lineman at heart. I'm a team player. You know, I like to be in the trenches doing the work and.
All right.
So I'm pretty comfortable there, but I intend to record some more stuff along the way. A lot of my outlet for my music stuff has been in soundtrack things too. You know, that's been,
oh, that's true. I saw
your
credits for that.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. I mean, how do you go about pitching something for a movie? Or a television show. I bet you've done something for Yellowstone, maybe, even. But how do you pitch something?
Well, honestly, a couple of things sort of just came to us. There's a lady named Cindy Meal who did a film called Buck the Film. And we had a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And Cindy reached out. She'd heard some of the music and she reached out and she was working on another documentary at that moment called Dogs on the Inside, which is a documentary about, they take these dogs out of shelters, like kill shelters basically, and take them to prison systems. And they let the inmates work with the dogs on obedience training and that sort of thing. And it helps everybody. And
right.
So she asked me to do the soundtrack for that, which I did, which was something I had never done before, never taken on something like that. And it was awesome. It was nerve wracking. And it was like, well, you talk about facing a deadline and going, yeah, can I do this? But but in the end, it was so gratifying to get to do that. And so and then Cindy had us do all the music. She did a thing called Seven Clinics with Buck Brannaman, where they did a collection of basically film that they had used in Buck the Film, but showed more of the training side of things. And so we did a bunch of music for that as well. And that was also
great.
Just really gratifying. Yeah.
That is great. Well, one of the projects that you have is a young lady called Templeton Thompson. And the most recent project is Get Back Up, and so how did you fit into this, Mr. Gay?
Well, I co-wrote most of the songs, and we recorded it all the basic tracks, basically in the room that I'm sitting in right now, in our studio at our home. So I played guitar, bass, did the drum stuff, a lot of the keyboards. So I did a bulk of the instruments here. And then, again, Rod comes up, our friend Rod McCormack, who's a great producer and who's in Australia. He agreed to come in and work on it too. So I did a lot of stuff here, and then we sent some tracks over to him, and he added his magical touch to it, and that's the way her record came to be.
Well, let's take a listen to Get Back Up. It's by Templeton Thompson, and we'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
Awesome. Never saw it coming, happened all at once, and now, now, this is now. And I can let it break me, I can let it take me down, down, all the way down. That's not how I'm made. Find a way onward. And I can feel you with me every single step I take. You make me stronger.
Album featuring Templeton Thompson and produced by Sam Gay, who is our very special guest today. And Sam, I noticed a post that you had about some CDs that had come in and were available. So
yeah, we did. We got in a new batch, just a very limited number. But you can find them at templetonthompson.com. You can order them there. And I know some of us still have CD players around, and I'm glad to have that. But, yeah, we do.
Well, I was going to ask you, because of the CDs, and you just mentioned some of us have CD players around. Actually, there is no CD player in our house, and there is no radio in our house. So we do have a turntable in the house. That's kind of an interesting thing. We still have old enough cars that we have a CD player in them. But but where is it going as far as CDs versus these little computerized sticks that people stick in. What do you call those things, Mary Kay?
It's,
I don't know.
Thumb drives or what are they?
The little thumb drives,
or?
The memory sticks,
yeah.
That you put in. Yeah, thumb drives.
Yeah.
So where are we going?
Know,
where are we going with music today?
It's going to all be digitally delivered. It's just the way it is. It's kind of sad because they haven't figured out a way to equitably pay the creators for streaming. Streaming pays just a tiny, tiny little amount. And I don't want to get on the soapbox here. That's not why I'm here, but it's, I did a little search just for my own information of like the amount of money that we were making from sales of our music, over like the past 10 years. And because 10 years ago, people were still primarily buying CDs. And our income from the sale of music, and we're still getting a ton of streams and all that stuff, is down by 90%.
Oh, wow.
That's the reality of it. And so that's why you see touring artists, really concentrating on selling T-shirts and,
more merchandise.
Yeah, right. Because you don't have a thing to sell anymore if you're counting on, just selling music.
Yeah.
So that's, again, I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but yeah, that's where it is, and that's where it's going to be, I think. And the thing that what we used to have was sort of a spigot, sort of a thing that directed the music to where people knew they could go get music. And there's a ton of great music out there still, but it's hard to find. You have to really work to find music, to find the stuff that really
good
hits
stuff.
You. Used to be you'd buy an album and you'd find four or five songs on it that never got on the radio that you loved. And that's not a thing anymore, So.
Well, it's interesting.
Anyhow.
And just this week I got in a CD from a young lady, but I also got in a thumb drive as well. So it was a CD plus a thumb drive that was delivered.
Yeah.
And I think I read the other day that for the first time, vinyl outsold CD last year. And, that's an interesting thing. And, like I said, we've got a record player here in the house, but we don't have a radio or a CD player. And so I think that's kind of the way it's going. But when I talk to artists, today, that's one of the things that we talk about. And about the only time that CDs are played or bought are at concerts, because people want something to take back with them that maybe has been autographed. And that really pretty much is the way that CDs are being distributed today. So interesting.
And that's
interesting stuff.
That's basically why we have them anymore, because we know there's not really a retail outlet for them. So, but we do like to have some on hand for, while we're playing gigs. Like you said, people still like to be able to take something home.
They get it signed. Yeah, they've got the artwork and all that kind of thing to look at. Yeah. So I'm going to do one more from Miss Templeton and from the album Get Back Up. It's called Common Ground. Can you tell us anything about this one?
Well, this one is one that Templeton wrote with Sally Barris. And
all right.
And I just got the honor of being able to play on it and produce the tracks on it. And basically my job on this one was to stand out of the way and let them do their magic.
Well, it's a cool song. Cool song.
And then,
it's called...
I left out an important step and then take credit.
Oh, good, yeah. That's the natural way.
There we go. All right, this is Common Ground. We'll be right back.
One sun, one moon, one sky. You'd think that we could find common ground. Each love a beating heart, yet we are worlds apart from common. common ground. We all walk different roads, but don't they always come together? So many lost and wandering souls thirsty for the same water. Oh, can't we all just gather and find some peace on common ground? If the tallest tree can bend, we can walk together, friends, on common ground. Common ground. The angels from their clouds, all they see looking down, it's common ground. Common ground.
Common ground. It is from the CD Get Back Up, and you can get your copy at templetonthompson.com. We are talking with the very talented Mr. Sam Gay, a singer, songwriter, producer, and multi-instrumentalist. And Sam, you've just been a ton of fun to have on the show today.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been a blast. Thank you for asking. I don't typically do radio interviews because I don't typically have that much to talk about. But
you have a lot to talk about, our friends.
Also, because I'm married to such a dynamo, you know, with Templeton, she's such a go-getter, and I'm happy about that. To be honest, I mean, I am kind of a background kind of guy, and you know, a ton of opportunities that I've had have come through her. So I'm thankful every day for Templeton and her go-getterishness. So
well, we're thankful for both of you, but as I said, you are a talented guy yourself, and so we need more Sam Gay music out there. So how can we find your website?
I'll do my best.
Well, do that and get a new project out and come back and be with us again when all that's ready to go.
Well, when it's ready to go, I would love to come back and play you guys some stuff from the record. I'm really proud of how it's developing. But you can find mostly the stuff of mine that's out there. Is a lot of it is this film soundtrack stuff, and you can go to connectedatthehit.com to see all that stuff. And that's mostly where my stuff lines up. I'm buried somewhere in Templeton's website too, but connectedatthehit.com has got most of my work on it.
All right, so that sounds great. Well, Sam, you are so much fun to visit with, and I'm looking forward to my wife getting to meet both of you and Templeton. And
we'll have to make that happen. Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm going to close
thanks for having
this
me.
Segment Well, you're very welcome.
Thank
I'm going to close
you.
The segment with She's Made the Music. Anything you want to tell us about this one before we go?
Well, I think I just did a second ago.
Yeah, you did.
We're talking about Templeton. This one is this is one that I had going pretty good, and then I played it for my buddy Rod in Australia, and we finished it up. But this is I didn't have to look far to find inspiration for this one. I'll just leave it at
that. I understand. Well, Sam, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. She's Made of Music, Sam Gay. We'll be right back.
It'd be fair to say she lives on inspiration. It's rare to see her feet touching the ground. I've never known a time when she's not singing, even when this old world tries to drown her out. She's the life of every party that she goes to. She lights up the room when she walks in. She's something new and something so familiar. She feels like your brand new old best friend. She's made music. Her whole life's like a song. You're among the lucky ones you get to sing along. She's a melody that will not leave your head. The kind you can't but don't want to forget. She's a complicated one-off work of art. Of moving parts, a grand design, but the simple truth is she's made of music. If you listen close, you'll hear a higher power in the way she holds a song up to the sky. Can move you like the moon can move the ocean without you even knowing. Show you how to fly. She's made of music. Her whole life's like a song. If you're among the lucky ones, you get to sing along. She's a melody that will not leave your head. The kind you can't don't want to forget. She's a complicated one-off work of art, a mystery of moving parts, a grand design, but the simple truth is she's made of music. Ooh, it tears me right in.
Did you have any fun today at all, dear?
Today was amazing. I love how these two artists
have a musical connection and friendship. It was really fun to, you know, hear each other's influence in both artists.
Well, it was a ton of fun getting to meet and visit with Sally Barris today in the first part of the show, and then catching up with our good friend Sam Gay. And we look forward to having him back when that new project's completed. So I can't remember that long name that he told us about.
It was a human cannonball, something about a human cannonball.
We'll get it next time.
Cover art's going to be.
Well, yeah, that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Kind of cool. But anyway, it'd be a lot of fun. And always enjoy our great guest on Live from Nashville. We want to remind you that you can listen to Live from Nashville every Saturday beginning at noon Central Standard Time, as well as the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America that airs on Thursdays beginning at noon Central Standard Time. You can listen to these shows at EquestrianLegacy.net, and you can also find them on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and Spotify. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Mary Kay, have a great show tonight in Escalante, Utah. And again, that is part of the Tater Festival. Oh, Potato Festival. Wild Potato
Wild Potato Festival, yes.
Wild Potato Festival. And showtime for her is 6 o'clock Mountain Time tonight. So if you're in the Utah area and want to go have a big time at a Tater Festival and listen to some great music, just get on down to Escalante. How do you say it? Escalante? How do you say
Escalante.
It if you're native? Escalante, Utah. And visit the Potato Festival that's going on there as well. We are going to close out the show today with a great song that you have just done, my dear, called Unbecoming. And thank you all for listening. Be sure and join us next Saturday for Live from Nashville. And thanks again for listening. This is Mary Kay Holt. It's her great song, Unbecoming.
Wish I'd never started wearing a life that wasn't trying to meet the expectations I disappeared behind. Putting all the pretty on to cover what was never wrong, till I didn't even recognize the stranger I'd become. So I'm gonna be
back. wish I'd never started where